that we bow our hearts before you to give you glory and honor, worship and praise for who you are and for all that you are. We thank you that you have designed us to be a prophetic people, Lord. That we are, in essence, O God, a people designed, O God, to bring forth the rich legacy that you have planned over our lives from the foundations of the world. We are a people of destiny. It is an awesome design that you have over each one of our lives, a unique design. Your word calls us epistles of Christ. Your word calls us letters of Christ. On the tablets of our heart, you are writing, O God, an awesome testimony of the glory of your grace, uniquely tailored to our lives, uniquely to bring forth our lives so that we will be morning stars, unveiled in heavenly places over nations, a people of a destiny, O God, far beyond our imaginations, far beyond our understanding. Father, as we lay right prophetic foundations, Father, as we lay foundations to the right understanding of the prophetic, Father God, we pray that you will open our hearts with understanding. The understanding that comes, O Lord, in the faith and love of Jesus. The understanding that is communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. The understanding that can only be communicated, O God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will raise us each to be a blessing to you in the matchless and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we want to talk about the essence of the prophetic. All right, let me just go back to the foundational verses that we are using to get this understanding of what God has designed us to be. Because God has designed us to be something far beyond, infinitely beyond our intelligence, infinitely beyond anything that is inherent to our natural being. We are a people who are being created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has ordained in each one of our lives. This is why the scriptures say that you and I are each fearfully and wonderfully made. That reality of being fearfully and wonderfully made is a prophetic reality. We know very little about being fearfully and wonderfully made. It is in the revelation of the word of God, it is in the manifestation of the prophetic that we will come to understand how awesomely God has designed us and how wonderfully God has made us. We have been made. That reality of us being made is in the heart of God. Let me show you that from Ephesians chapter 4. Very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22 onwards. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. Put on the new self which in God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. There is a person who that has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We are called to put on that self. And we put on that self as we receive, realize, and express God's word. God's word is creative. As you accept God's word, as you understand God's word, as you choose to live God's word, that word will be performed in you, and you will put on the new self. So you are essentially, what shall I say, a prophetic expression yet to be manifested. And this prophetic expression of how God has fearfully and wonderfully made you is something you have to receive, realize, and express throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Now the awesomeness of the design is expressed in one verse that is very powerful. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. So the prophetic word is designed for your heart. It is meant to be unveiled in your heart. It is designed to be a morning star. Now this is why God took Abraham out and he said, look at the stars. Your descendants will be as the stars. And if you have looked at photographs that have been taken of the Milky Way, you understand that God is talking about something of astronomical proportions. Something entirely beyond the intelligence of the human race. So a morning star is like, is pictorially, is a picture of the kind of person you and I are designed to be. The light of God is meant to manifest in us. The prophetic word is designed to manifest the light of God in us so that we will shine over nature, over nations. And God is using the natural sun as a picture of that prophetic reality. So when God says he has fearfully and wonderfully made you, the picture of that is in the sun. Right? One of the pictures. All right? It doesn't mean you're going to be a ball of fire in the sky, but you know, God is trying to give you a spiritual picture of how he has designed you. Right? So you need to understand that you are called to be morning stars. Morning stars are stars in the rising. Not. Right? So you and I need to understand this prophetic reality, and we need to call forth this prophetic reality. We need to understand this prophetic reality. We need pursue this prophetic reality, right? So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30 so that we can get into the subject we want to talk about. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. That you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. This is the basic definition of the prophetic. The word is given to you in your mouth. It's given to you in your heart. Your mouth speaks what your heart believes. And what your mouth speaks and what your heart believes, God will perform if it is in his righteousness. If it is in accordance with his righteousness. If it's in accordance with his plan and his purpose for you from the beginning of time. So you need to see and understand that there is something inherent to what God has designed you to be. You are designed to call forth something that is not into being. And it starts with your person. It starts with your understanding of what God has called you to be. It starts with your understanding of what God wants you to walk into. Right? And you need to be able to speak forth these realities so that you will see what God has planned for you. You are supposed to be the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. You know that verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works that God has ordained beforehand. Now, all that is something that is not of your intellect. You can't study the scriptures with your intellect and come to understand how you're going to be a morning star. You don't know what even a morning star is like. It is entirely in the heart of God, and you have to put on this new self, right? And you have to understand what this new self is, and you have to walk into this new self. You have to realize what God has designed you to be. Now, in order to realize this in the new covenant, God gives us a witness. And every one of us who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in our hearts there is a witness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. All right, I'm just laying the foundation so that we can go into what we have for today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The witness. And everything in Christianity is based on this witness. And this witness is specific to your being. This witness is designed for you. It is designed to be revealed in you. It is designed to be developed in you. It is designed to be expressed through you in thought, in word, and in deed. In this witness is your destiny. And you can either choose to receive this witness, realize this witness, and walk into this witness, or you can reject this witness and lose what God has given you. So it's very important for you to understand what the intent of the prophetic is, all right, within you. It is meant to create you. It is also meant to make you fully functional in God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. This talks to you about the functional, all right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. That's in the New American Standard. If you have a New King James Bible, it reads the oracles of God. So what has God designed you to be? To manifest the prophetic in a reality in which you will stand as the oracles of God. That is pretty high calling, isn't it? That is actually a calling of astronomical proportions, to be able to communicate the utterances of God, knowing that every utterance of God will be performed. Let there be light, and there was light. God's calling those kind of things into being within us. God is calling those kind of things into being through us. So we are designed for great things. We are sons of God. And it's so important for us to appreciate who we are. So often we are stumbled by what we see around us. We are stumbled by people we see in the church. We are stumbled by people we live with at home. We are stumbled by people whom we work with in our professions or in our business or even in our ministries. And God is trying to tell us, you need to look beyond what you see around you and understand that you are a creature of destiny. You cannot afford to live in what is dying. That which is carnal and that which is of the flesh of man will surely die. It is dying. You see it all around you. You see it right through human history. And God is telling you, don't respond to that kind of a witness. Respond to what I have given you for your life and for the life of your families. I have given you the blessings of Abraham. I want you to call forth those blessings of Abraham. Abraham means the father of nations. Now, through each one of us, God has the intent of manifesting nations. So call forth your generations. Call forth your generations in the righteousness of God. Call forth your generations in the will of God. Look at your children. Look at your family as a beginning of great things. Look at your children as children of destiny. Right? Obtain an inheritance that you can give them. Obtain an inheritance in your own heart that stands before God. Something in your own heart that God will honor. Today you see the Jewish nation come back to the nation of Israel simply because God made a vow with Abraham. That in spite of their sinfulness, in spite of the fact that they turned away from God, in spite of the fact that they rejected Jesus Christ, God is still working his plan of salvation over that nation because Abraham was a friend of God. Because Abraham chose to believe God. Although many have sinned, yet God is faithful to what he gave an oath for. And so you need to understand that same covenantal oath is available to you in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be stumbled by human beings. That's very foolish. Don't be stumbled by the weaknesses of those who are around you. Man is weak. From the time Adam and Eve fell, man has been in weakness. But God is doing a restorative work. You need to see and understand and call forth that which is of God. So today we want to talk about prophetic expression. All right? So that you and I can become the oracles of God. So we're going to start from the book of John, John chapter 4. So that you understand how your inward parts are designed, okay, spiritually. I'm not talking in natural terms. I'm not talking about the design of your physical body. I'm talking about the design of your spiritual being. The being that continues after this body dies. Unless the Lord comes before that, then this body will be instantaneously changed. But in chapter 4, verse 10 of chapter 4, Jesus answered the woman, the Samaritan woman, and he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink. Underline that phrase, the gift of God. Because so many of us still haven't heard that everything in Christianity is a gift from God. So many of us are still stuck, not growing. For years we haven't grown, simply because we are trying to establish our merits before God. And we are wasting our time. Instead of receiving the gift of God, we are wasting our time trying to establish our righteousness before God. And the scripture has already spoken in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6, that the righteousnesses of man are filthy rags. So Jesus Christ talks about the gift of God. And he says, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Water is the voice of God. Water represents the rhema of God. It's a symbolic expression of the voice of God. All right, verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. That is the well that they were standing next to. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him. Notice the words, I shall give him. If he doesn't give it, that is not going to be living water. You cannot go out there and sweat and toil in the ground and find living water. Neither can you fast 40 days and 40 nights and find this living water because you fasted 40 days and 40 nights. If you have not fasted in the righteousness of God, but you have instead fasted in your righteousness, then this living water will not be given in response to your righteousness. It will be given only in the righteousness of God. The new covenant is entirely in the righteousness of God. It is not in the merits of the human race. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Springing up to eternal life. Jesus is describing something. He's describing a living well. And he says, every time you hear what I give you, if you hear my voice, that will become a well inside of you. And like any well, you can draw water out of the well. All right? Now let's deal with the word water first. All right? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. Ezekiel is watching a vision. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty. So the voice of the Almighty, El Shaddai, the voice of the Almighty is like abundant waters. It is pregnant with life and it's pregnant with the possibilities of true life. This is God's voice. This is not man's voice. This is not the voice of the creation. This is the voice of the Almighty God. And this voice of the Almighty God is abundant waters. And the well of living water that God, Jesus Christ is talking about is the conduit through which this voice of the Almighty will flow into you and through you. That's the spiritual picture that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to give you. All right? This is the prophetic picture of how you and I will function in God. All right? All right, let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. How does the voice of God come to us? Revelation, chapter 1. You know the context. John is in the island of Patmos. He's imprisoned there, or cast in exile there. And he sees this vision of the Lamb of God. And in verse 15, he writes, and his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Abundant waters, many waters. So how do these abundant waters of the Almighty God flow into us? Through the testimony of Jesus. Are you with me? Yeah? So what is the witness God has given you? He has given that witness when you believed in Jesus Christ, right? We just read that from 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, right? That witness, it is called the witness. And that is the witness that these wells of living water are meant to feed. All right? All right? You got the picture? But the voice of the Almighty God can only come into a human being through the testimony of Jesus. So if you turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, at the end of that verse 10, it says, "And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So God has designed us as a people who will live by his abundance. But that abundance can only be communicated to us through the testimony of Jesus. And it's the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. Amen? All right? How does Jesus address his testimony? Let's turn to John 6, 63. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. This is the Holy Spirit. The flesh profits nothing, so don't waste your time with your flesh. You cannot serve God in your flesh. Your flesh profits nothing. God is talking in abiding terms here, right? In the dimensions of the transitory, the flesh appears to be real. But everything you do by your flesh is only real for a period of time. Sometimes it is only for a few minutes. Sometimes it is only real for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. But no matter how smart you are, the things you have realized in your flesh will pass away. Knowledge forms that we studied, most of us who are older, who studied in universities, say 20 years, 30 years or 40 years ago, most of the stuff we studied isn't even in the textbook anymore. It passes away. It either becomes irrelevant or you can't remember. All right? So most of the things we have acquired in our flesh, by the time you're 50, probably 95% of it is already gone. If you try to teach your child mathematics, and assuming you were pretty good in your mathematics, if you go back to the textbook, you will find that most of the stuff you had A's in, you will have to relearn because you have forgotten them. That is the tragedy of the transitory. That's the tragedy of the flesh. That's why Jesus is saying the flesh profits nothing. Or what use is something that is going to be real to you for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years and then it dies? And so he says, the words, the rhema that I have spoken to you, our spirit and our life. Our spirit and our life. So the testimony of Jesus is the communication of the spirit and life of Jesus. And these wells of living water are meant to communicate the spirit and life of Jesus. Let's turn to Luke. The book of Luke. Chapter 21, verse 33. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." So the words that come to us through the testimony of Jesus are the basis of the abiding. They are the basis of the eternal. And this is the foundation of what is prophetic in you and me. This is the very heart of why God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because you are designed to be able to receive the flow of the voice of God. And the voice of God comes to you through the testimony of Jesus. In the merits of the Lamb, you have access to this testimony. In the merits of the Lamb, you are a prophetic people. without the Lord Jesus Christ, without his testimony, without his name, all this does not exist for you. All right? So you've got wells of living water that come to you through the words that come to you in the testimony of Jesus. This whole book can be described and can be communicated into you and me as the testimony of Jesus. So Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill. All right? Make it all alive. Right? Make it all real. Right? Make it all abiding. Inside of you and me. Okay? So you have these wells, and what enables you to draw from these wells of living water? Where does the water come from? If you look at Revelation 22, you find that there is a river flowing from the throne of God, a river of living water. All right? So there is this river, and these wells are designed to function by drawing from this river of the abundant waters of the voice of God. So that's the picture. All right? So how do we draw out of these wells of living water? Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. So out of understanding, you draw living waters into you. Out of understanding. So in the parable of the sower in the book of Matthew, in chapter 13, verse 23, Jesus says, you have to hear the word and understand it. And then you can realize groweth in 30-fold measures, 60-fold measures, and 100-fold measures. The technologies of man cannot manifest 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold measures of growth. They are impossible to the technologies of man, no matter how man boasts of his intelligence. We pretend to be very intelligent, but we cannot give life, and neither can we cause things to grow on a sustainable basis. That's why our study of economics goes in cycles. All right. So the first thing you have to know is that the word of God comes to you. You have got to hear it. You've got to understand it. If you can understand it, you can draw from the river of life. And you have wells of living water that are functional. All right. Now let's turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 37 to 39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, actually. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Earlier on to the Samaritan woman, he said, if I give you this living water, it will become a well of living water within you. Now he is talking about rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. In the old King James Bible, it says, from out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. If you've seen a river, and you've seen rivers, can you imagine a commingled flow of many rivers flowing out of your belly? That's a pretty dynamic picture of your spiritual capacity, as God has designed your spiritual capacity to ultimately be one day. So out of the well of living water will flow rivers of living water. So it's a pretty big well, all right? And these rivers of living water flow according to how you speak. So the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Understanding is a reality of the heart. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, understanding is knowing the Holy One. Now this is why I always talk about intimacy. Because if you really want to be a vessel of the Lord and you really want to flow in the prophetic the way God has designed the prophetic to be, then you really need to understand. It has to be in an intimacy. Last Sunday I was talking in the church in Sramban, and I talked about the root of the prophetic. And the root of the prophetic is the root of David. David means the well-beloved. Jesus Christ must become the beloved of your heart. That is the very root of the prophetic. So understanding knows the Holy One. So what is understanding flowing out of? It is flowing according to the root of David that God has developed inside of you. Are you with me? Nobody can bluff in the kingdom of God. You either are a product of the Holy Spirit or it really doesn't count. I can't bluff, you can't bluff. Someday in your lifetime, that bluff is going to be called. And when a bluff is called, it can have very tragic consequences. So don't play games with the things of God. So in the parable of the sower, in Mark chapter 4 verse 20, Jesus says, you hear the word of God and you accept it. The word of God is not given for intellectual argument. So many parts of the Christian church are dead and dying simply because they have trampled over God's word by arguing over it instead of accepting it. In schools of theology, they have questioned God's word and they have trampled over it. They have laughed at it, they have ridiculed it. They have tried to reduce it to the level of the human intellect. And the result has been a church that is literally cursed. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are designed so that you will release rivers of living water. If you don't have such rivers of living water, you have no ministry. So you can't bluff that either. Ministry in the real sense of it. Now, all of us have the capacity for ministry. We are called ministers of the new covenant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, we are called ministers of the new covenant in the King James Bible, or the New King James Bible. So we are called to minister, and we are called to release these rivers of living water wherever we go. All right? Now, this is why, if you go back to the book of Isaiah, it talks about rivers flowing in the desert and deserts coming to life. Okay, let's turn, for example, to Isaiah chapter 43. Let's, for example, read verse 19 of Isaiah 43. In verse 18, he says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Now this is what he is talking. Now where are these rivers going to come forth? They're going to come forth from those of us who have the word of God alive within us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. This is the prophetic word. And we are called to be able to manifest this prophetic word. This is prophetic expression. All right? This is prophetic expression. Right? And when these rivers flow, the beasts of the field will glorify me. What are beasts of the field? Have you seen beasts of the field amongst the human race? People who behave like beasts? Have you met them in your life? Maybe they are in your family. Maybe they are descriptive of the life you used to live. The jackals and the ostriches, right? What does the ostrich do? Buries its head in the sand. Are there people like that? Yes. Who live in an unreal world because they are full of fear. Jackals, people who live by cunning, And they think they're very intelligent and very smart because they are cunning. Right? Because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. So from out of the beasts and out of the jackals and out of the ostriches, God calls out a chosen people. How do you like grace? Powerful word. Obviously, when a jackal comes into the church, he still continues to behave like a jackal. Takes some time to be changed, isn't it? So we have to overcome, right? Yeah, it's not easy, right? It's not easy. We must allow the river of life to flow in spite of what we may be seeing around us. Maybe you're married to a jackal. What do you do? Yeah, you've got to let the river of life flow. If you keep looking at the jackal, that jackal will only lead to death because the character and nature of a jackal is destructive. So God is calling forth a people who can release these rivers of living water in the desert. And the world that we live in is a spiritual desert. But we have a responsibility. Salvation is not just for feel-good living. Salvation is not just for selfish living, self-centered, I, me, my, and mine kind of living. And when you start becoming someone who is able to release those waters of life, you will find that you will have to go through some pain and some rejection and things like that. It comes with the territory. When people are hurt, they will hurt you. When people are prideful, they will reject you. It comes with the territory. And when people reject you, how will you respond? Will you respond to the pride? If you respond to the pride and the rejection, you yourself have now become, no longer will rivers of life flow out of you. You yourself will see that the river will stop. That's why Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. What does he do? Very simple, accusation. He accuses you. And he knows how to play this game of accusation so that he can stop the rivers of living water flowing out of you. So we have so many millions of born-again Christians, and if you put them in front of the mirror and ask them to look at themselves and say, where is this Jesus whom you speak of? He certainly is not on your face. And you will realize that the waters have been stopped, that the waters have dried up. And just as in the physical, if your skin gets dry, it will become wrinkled. So you will also see those wrinkles, spiritually speaking, affecting your look. So some people have dead eyes. Like I said, you can't bluff. But in the Christian faith, God says, this river of life is available to all. All who hear my word and respond to my word will receive this life. It is for free. It is a gift of God. So make sure that this gift flows out of you. As parents, you are responsible that the river of life flows in your home. One day God will hold you accountable for it. Yeah? So you've got to allow these rivers to flow. First and foremost, to allow these rivers of living water to flow, you've got to hear the word of God. The trouble with so many Pentecostal charismatic Christians is they don't hear God's word anymore. And they think that because they are flowing with an anointing, it must be the truth. Not realizing that an anointing can be used for good, it can also be used for bad. Look at Lucifer. He was called the anointed cherub. That's what the Bible calls him, the anointed cherub. And the anointed cherub became an anointed skunk. Yeah? And that can happen to any one of us too. So if you have the nature of a serpent, you will also become an anointed serpent. So if you don't hear the word of God, and Jesus said, my words to you, right? Our life, our spirit and life. In John 17, he says to God as he prays, right? Thy word is truth. And if the church no longer feels it has to understand the word of God, or the church thinks that the word of God is intellectual, then where are these wells going to be constructed? How are these wells going to be constructed? What is going to flow out of these wells? If the wells are not built out of the word of God, then everything that flows will be poisoned waters. And so much of ministry in the Christian church is poisoned waters. Why? Because it's no longer the pure word of God. It is the word of God tailored for man's agendas, for the intentions of man. And that kind of word destroys. So we all have a capacity to choose selectively, isn't it? So God is asking us to build those wells before we think we can be a prophetic people. It is absolutely important that you understand, to be a prophetic people, you can only be a prophetic people through the word of God. You cannot be a prophetic people just because you see visions and you hear voices, guys. That's why so many people who see visions and hear voices are in error, serious error. Because the waters are poisoned. Why? Because they've got no time for the word of God. Oh, I can hear God talk to me all the time. Oh, yeah. All right? So, for those wells to flow, you have to receive the word of God. That's why we are a ministry of the word. It's not that we don't believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We do. But no gift can function without the word. You need the word to define the gift. You need the word to define how the gift is going to be employed. You can't do your own thing. You can't do your own thing because your nature is seriously flawed and my nature is seriously flawed. And if we are not receiving the word of God, there is no basis for us to be cleansed. It is only through the Rhema word of God that you are washed. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 26, and 27. Husbands, love your wives. I'm just reading for context. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. What is sanctify her? Make her holy. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Who cleanses her? Christ cleanses her. How does he cleanse her? Through his words. So the words that flow in the testimony of Jesus are the Rhema words that cleanse you. Nothing else can cleanse you and me. Nothing else can cleanse you and me. Good intentions will never make you clean. Practicing the law will never make you clean. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. How does that happen? Through the washing of the water of the word. And the washing of the water of the word is so powerful because it's a supernatural washing. That's the only thing that can cleanse you and me. And so he says that he might present the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So this washing is something that comes through the Rhema word. But this washing comes also by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now this is at the essence of the prophetic, okay? By the Holy Spirit, the Rhema word has the capacity to wash you in renewal and regeneration. What is renewal? Making the old new. Again, a process entirely beyond the technologies of man. You cannot take an old rackety old car and make it a new car. You cannot take a rusted piece of steel and renew it and regenerate it into stainless steel again. It will not work. We don't have such technology. But God talks about renewal and regeneration. Regeneration is that which is dead is made alive. A process unknown to the technologies of man. So through the Rhema word, God manifests renewal and regeneration. Therefore, all things are possible for us through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is grace. This is grace in operation. And the prophetic is grace in operation. It is not a meritocracy in operation. It is grace in operation. Okay, so there are two things that enable the flow of the prophetic or the expression of the prophetic: your mouth and your heart. All right? So what is your heart designed for in the Word of God? All right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. If you believe God, then your heart will hold the righteousness of God. Very simple. There is a teaching tape in our foundation series that talks about the meaning of belief. And we use five words to describe belief, right? Hope, faith, righteousness, love, and holiness. All these are words that are tied to belief. Hope is the simplest way in which you can believe. Set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your hope on Him in the finished work of the cross. Faith is substance. The substance of your hope. Right? Faith is the substance of your hope, and it produces an evidence. Evidence is the righteousness of God. And when you have discovered the righteousness of God, you can then come to understand that you can love God. Because loving God is not an emotion. It is a fact. And the evidence of faith is meant to manifest a reality that will enable you to love God. You cannot love a God who is make-believe. He has to be real to you. You cannot just say, I will believe. No, it has to be real, tangible. And one of the ways in which God manifests right belief is through this word called love. When you love God, then you can talk about holiness. But if you don't love God, forget about the word holiness. It cannot mean anything to you. No matter how hard you try. All right? So the root of the prophetic is love, isn't it? The root of David is love. And the root of the prophetic is love. If you don't love God, forget about being a holy prophet unto God. It won't work. It won't work. So belief, right? So with a heart, man believes. And what is the purpose of belief? That you will realize the righteousness of God. What God can do versus what you can do. Hello? What God can do versus what you can do. So often, when we train new Christians, we keep turning it around and telling him, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to do the other and you need to do the other. And we are laying all the wrong foundations into them. We're laying all the wrong foundations into them, making Christian faith a self-centered kind of reality.
taking one verse which says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not realizing that fear means the fear of the Lord. Trembling means to tremble at God's word. Both are realities unknown to man. Those are realities God has to bring to you from the heart of Jesus. All right? So please understand that your heart is designed to realize the righteousness of God. What God can do, not what you can do. So many of you are struggling with your Christian faith because you're stuck with what you are trying to do. And you can't think beyond that because we have been brought up from childhood to depend on ourselves. And we believe in it on a subconscious and an unconscious level. And in spite of saying that I believe in God, we will subconsciously and unconsciously act based on I believe in myself. That's why God has to renew and regenerate us through the rhema of the word. He's got to generate that belief system into you. He's got to ensure that the waters flowing into you are not poisoned waters. They are sweet waters. Right? So when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came to this place, right? And the waters were poisoned. What did God tell Moses to do? Take the root of the tree and throw it inside. Now that is symbolic of the root of David. That is prophetically symbolic of the root of David. And God's doing the same thing inside of your heart. Do you love God? Do you understand it's a matter of life and death for you to love God? And one of the things you need to pray for every day is to ask God to enable you to love Him. You cannot love Him out of your strength. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you so that you can see Him, you can touch Him, you can feel Him through your life. You cannot come into an intimacy with the God whom you don't live by. What do you do when you live? The things you do every day, the profession you practice. The way you speak to your wife, the way you speak to your children, the way you speak to your colleagues in your work ethic. How you conduct your ministry, how you relate to others in the church. It is all part of the life that you live. Now, is God a part of that life? How do you deal with wrongdoing, by the law or through grace? For yourself it is grace, for somebody else it is by the law. So how can you have grace operating in you when you deal with somebody else through the law? But once you see grace operating through you, and you realize how effective and powerful grace can be and how it affects the lives of other people, you will come to appreciate the treasure of God manifested in your life. Your life. You can't come to love God because He used Moses so wonderfully. Moses ain't you. So you have to discover the God who is your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God demanded that because that is a reality that is possible. Amen. And it's a reality that is so crucial for the prophetic to flow out of you. The second thing that unveils and expresses the prophetic is your mouth, specifically your tongue. So verse 10 of chapter 10 of Romans. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Listen to this very carefully. If your heart doesn't believe the righteousness of God, your mouth cannot speak salvation. Hello. It is because your heart believes what God can do, and your mouth speaks in line with what your heart believes. Then your mouth articulates salvation. And salvation is entirely a supernatural process. God saves us. God saves us. Now we have a series of tapes on understanding salvation. I think it is called Module 6 in the School of Ministry series. go through that. There's something like almost 20 tapes, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Go through that. Go through that so that you understand what salvation is. So you understand that it's entirely a supernatural process, and it's a phenomenal process. Because if you don't understand salvation, you cannot grow in God, no matter how hard you try. To pray rightly, or to pray substantively, you need to realize your salvation. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it by willpower. It won't last. If you're praying out of sheer discipline and willpower, you're praying the wrong way. Don't get me wrong, there is a discipline that comes by the Spirit. But that discipline is birthed out of love. So you need to realize that process of salvation that will enable you to live by the strength of God, not by your strength. How far do you want to go with your strength? What doesn't work in the natural, how can it work in the spiritual? So this is the basis of the prophetic, okay? This is the expression of the prophetic, to manifest the righteousness of God so that salvation is unveiled. This is something every Christian potentially has. To receive the righteousness of God that can then communicate salvation. And every one of us can manifest that differently. You operate a gift that God gives you. You use your mouth and you use your heart to operate the gifts of healing, for instance. You use your mouth and you use your heart to operate the gift of miracles. You use your mouth and you use your heart to operate in the gift of faith. So what is the gift of faith all about? If it does not manifest salvation, what is it manifesting? Your empire. The fact that you are a great and anointed man of God, who is going to be saved by you being a great and anointed man of God? Are we getting something through? You operate the word of knowledge? Very good. But what is that word of knowledge all about? To tell people that you are very anointed? Or to tell people that the righteousness of God is available in salvation? Does the word of knowledge minister salvation? Does the word of wisdom unveil salvation? Does the discerning of spirits manifest salvation? When you operate the gift of prophecy, are you manifesting salvation? If you're not manifesting salvation, what use is it? If you're functioning in tongues, what are you praying in tongues for? If the intent is not to realize and to express salvation, why on earth are you praying in tongues for? The interpretation of tongues. For what purpose? So that people can hear the word of God that manifests his righteousness and unveils his saving grace. Amen. The same goes for all the fivefold ministries. You speak into somebody's life as a prophet. What is the intent of you speaking it? So that that person will find the righteousness of God and be able to respond to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that will enable him to become an instrument of the living God, because every man, woman, and child in the kingdom of God is an instrument of the living God. Of what use is a prophetic word that rebukes for the sake of rebuking? Who is going to be helped by that? So what if it's accurate? So what, you knew that in 1921 lightning struck and he was born. So what? Who is going to be saved by that? But if you tell him that in order to catch his attention, that God is speaking to him and God knows exactly what is happening in his life, then you are making a difference. But the intention for such kind of accuracy is to catch his attention and to know, to bring him before the fear of the Lord, so that he understands he can't play games with this God. Same with being a pastor What use is to be a pastor if nobody is being brought into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? All they know is that they are born again, and all they know is how to babble in tongues. What for? Where is it all going to go to? And the church has been like that since 1921, under your wondrous ministry. Huh? So what, we are supposed to be babies all our life? Huh? How do you like the prophetic picture of a 40-year-old guy with a boothing in his mouth? How wonderful it looks. A mature church. Hmm? Do you know there are entire denominations that are very happy to have baby Christians so that they can manipulate them and use them any way they want? And some of them are so-called spirit-filled churches. Filled with the pastor's spirit. Praise the Lord. So your mouth and your heart, the very prophetic essence that God has given us. And the mouth and the heart is to be used to manifest the righteousness of God that will result in salvation. Salvation is the basic plane of reality of everything that is the Christian message. Every reality of being a blessed people, of being a people anointed to stand in heavenly places, flows out of salvation. God has to save you to put you in a high position. God has to save you to enable you to hold his authority. God has to save you in order to enable you to function in the anointings the right way. God has to save you in order to enable you to utilize the gifting for his glory. It does not come to any one of us naturally. It comes out of salvation. You understand why salvation is so important? Because nobody can pay the price for salvation. That salvation flows out of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It does not flow because we have read this and memorized the scripture from cover to cover. If everything flows out of salvation, you will not find Christians saying that they paid the price to stand in the ministry. That's the point I'm trying to make here. If it flows out of the finished work of the cross, what price did you pay? Fair enough, God took you through the mill. Fair enough, somebody gave up his life in order that the message was established in a particular geographical area. Fair enough. But he did not pay the price for that gospel to be established. He did not pay the price for that gospel message either. Do you understand? Every time we make a man an icon, we have manifested idolatry. And there are denominations that make saints and make statues of saints, and the whole message of the Christian, of the testimony of Jesus, is lost. And millions of people bow down and venerate pieces of stone and pieces of wood. How on earth can that be the truth? By what stretch of the imagination can that be the truth? That is a total blasphemy of the testimony of Jesus. Huh? So the reality of God and his righteousness and his salvation is something personal to your heart and to your mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the essence of the prophetic. That is the basis of the prophetic. All right? Okay. With that picture, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 3. One who prophesies speaks to men. One who prophesies speaks to men. So all of us have the capacity to speak to men. But not all of us operate prophetically. Are you with me? And God wants you to understand you have the capacity to operate prophetically. And there are three dimensions of the righteousness of God that unveils his salvation. The first is edification. To build. Huh? When you open your mouth to speak, build. Don't destroy. You can destroy the monuments built to Satan. Yes. But when you speak into human lives, you speak to build. To exhort, to encourage. People need encouragement. People need to be stirred. They need to have a sense of destiny, which is why I like to speak in big pictures. That becoming a Christian is the greatest thing you have entered into. And if we teach the Word of God rightly, you will get a sense of that destiny. Why do you get that sense of destiny? Simply because your heart has the capacity to realize the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is limitless, guys. Just imagine you have a heart that can realize the righteousness of God. It can take hold of the righteousness of God, that God has designed your heart to literally grow limitlessly in his righteousness. Think about it. What a powerful idea. And your mouth has the capacity to release that righteousness so that there will be salvation. The water will become wine. The desert will bloom. Yeah? Isn't that a powerful picture? So exhort. Encourage people. They have got so much to look forward to. Consolation. Bring healing into people's hearts. Don't bring destruction into their hearts. You want consolation for yourself, you're not prepared to give it to somebody. That's why Jesus says, love your enemies. Why? Because otherwise enmity will destroy everything. He went to the cross to destroy the enmity. He went to the cross to destroy the enmity. Aren't you tired of the enmity? Haven't you looked at your extended family and watched the enmity? Brothers who lived together for 30 years, 20 years, fighting with each other over silly things. When is this going to stop? Who is going to stop it? You have to stop it. You have to say, enough is enough. That from now onwards we will live differently. At least as long as it depends on me, I will live differently. I will speak different words. I will manifest the joy of the Lord. I will overcome all the injustices. I will overcome their vindictiveness. Can you do that? Yes, you need the power of God. You need the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And he had every reason to tell the Father, send them all to hell. They belong there. They love it. Nobody decided. Oh, God opened a new beginning for them. Amen. That is the prophetic. That is the prophetic. But how many prophets speak like that? How many prophets would speak what Isaiah spoke? By his stripes and by his wounds, we are healed. By his knowledge, we are justified. Prophet Isaiah. Who will write prophecy like David? I was taken into darkness, and behold, God spoke, and I was brought out of that darkness, out of the depths of death and destruction. I was brought forth and set on a high plane. I'm paraphrasing, but words to that effect. That is prophecy. Seeing beyond the darkness, seeing beyond the destruction, seeing beyond the vindictiveness, seeing beyond the hate. Can you see that in your family's life? As a father responsible for his wife and for his kids, can you see that or not? Or are you a coward who every time somebody says something, you crumble under it and you get angry? Hello. That is cowardice. Are you a wife who undermines a husband every time she gets a chance? Huh? To get back at him. Because he doesn't treat you right. Two wrongs don't make a right. They will never make a right. They only bring more and more destruction and pain. Praise the Lord. The prophetic. The prophetic. Because we are designed prophetically, we can also manifest destruction. That too is prophetic. That's the prophetic of the occult. That is the prophetic of destruction, death. Death too is prophetic. That's why God said when he spoke through Moses, right? Let's turn to Deuteronomy 30 again. Verse 15. Deuteronomy 30 verse 15, he says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity." That's the true prophetic. And then he says, "Death and adversity." That is the false prophetic. That's the prophetic that flows out of the accuser's mouth. Why does the accuser accuse? In order to destroy. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Precious and holy Father, we thank you that you have designed us to draw from the abundant waters of life that flow in your living word, Father. The voice of your word. The abundant waters of the Almighty. To think that the abundant waters of the Almighty are designed to flow through each one of us. That is an awesome thought, Father. That they are designed to flow through us so that the righteousness of the Almighty God can be manifested. That the saving power of the Almighty God can be manifested. What an awesome destiny to bequeath to people like us, Lord. So Father, teach us to speak correctly. Teach us to have right thoughts in our hearts. Teach us to have the courage of the lion and the lamb. Teach us not to falter in the face of evil. Enable us to become overcomers so that the prophetic word will flow out of us to bring forth life. That we will be able to see the deserts come to life. That we will be able to see the jackals being transformed, the ostriches being set free, and the beasts being transfigured in the light of your knowledge. O God, make us a prophetic people, so that one day we will be morning stars that will shine over entire nations. And we will look at the heritage you have given us, and we will hallow your name, because you would have brought us into something that would have been entirely and absolutely beyond any capacity of ours. So we thank you that you have designed us to be sons of God. Teach us to live like sons of God. Teach us to seek to understand the ways of the sons of God. Teach us to receive the Son. May he be preeminent in our hearts, so that in his remembrance we will realize the Passover that you have given us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's celebrate communion. Luke chapter 22. Verse 14. Verse 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Position. Prophetic position. Prophetic position for the entire church. Ephesians, Paul describes it. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. Passover. Passover based on the righteousness of God. That your heart is designed to hold. Your heart is designed to understand. Your heart is designed to realize. Powerful. Powerful, guys. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And Jesus saw exactly how he was going to suffer. He knew exactly how he was going to suffer. But he chose to speak with fervent desire, life into his apostles, so that they in turn would communicate that life. He knew Peter was going to betray him. He knew the rest of them were going to run away. He knew Judas was going to sell him out. Yet he broke bread with all of them. The only one who stayed was John. Why? Because John actually fell in love with him. Root of David, the essence of the prophetic. So John didn't run away. Mary Magdalene didn't run away. Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't run away. Because they all had a revelation of a love that impacted their lives powerfully. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Who will have fervent desire before he is going to suffer? Especially if you're going to the cross. Now this is what sets Jesus Christ apart. That's why he's the bravest man who has ever lived. That's why he's called the Lion and the Lamb. That's why we need the testimony of Jesus so that we too can overcome. So that we will not succumb to the flesh. So that we will not succumb to temptation. Yeah? And then he says, "For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And we are prophetic people because we are called to realize the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus says, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Where is this kingdom you're talking about? Where is it coming? How is it coming?" And he says, "Behold," in the King James Bible, he says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." In other translations, it says, "The kingdom of God is amongst us." The kingdom of God is a reality within. It flows from living water. It can only be perceived through living waters flowing out of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's a Passover. It makes each one of us creatures of fulfillment. Praise the Lord. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves." Share it. The cup represents his witness. Prophetic. Every time you speak, you share the cup. Jesus said, "The mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart." But if your mouth can express the righteousness of God, you will always be one who manifests salvation. "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." Jesus is the true vine. We are his branches. The fruit of the vine come off the branches. So the prophetic must manifest fruitfulness. You can check it out. Is your life fruitful? Or do you bring death and destruction wherever you go? Or do you not make any difference? Do the deserts bloom when you have passed by? Pretty vivid test, isn't it? Huh? Nobody can bluff, right? So when you are in ministry, will the deserts bloom? Or will you bring gloom? Yeah? Hello? Have you been to churches where it's all doom and gloom? I hope we are different here. Verse 19, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" When we prophesy, when we use our mouth, we speak to men. "Do this in remembrance of me." Elsewhere in the Word of God, it's written that we are members one of another. But we are all ailing members that are being healed, that are being saved. So there's a lot of work to be done in us and amongst us. That's why we pray for each other. That's why we choose to see beyond each other's weaknesses. Because if we don't see beyond each other's weaknesses, we will be consumed by each other's weaknesses. We will destroy each other because there's plenty of avenue to pick fault with each other. So what do you respond to? Salvation and the potentials of the righteousness of God? Or do you pick out the faults of men? And we all have a litany of faults, right? God's in the process of healing us and saving us. I admire him for the work he has done in me and the work that he continues to do in me. I hope you admire the work he's doing in your life. And I hope that that work that he does in your life will enable you to appreciate the work he's doing in somebody else's life. Remember me, says the Lord. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That applies to all of us equally. Huh? Applies to all of us equally. It's tragic, isn't it? That after 2,000 years of Christianity, so much of the church still doesn't know what it's doing. What a betrayal. What a betrayal. What a betrayal. That we tell people they have to pray to somebody else in heaven to get to Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit himself is inside of us. Can you imagine praying to somebody in heaven to reach the God who is living inside of you? Good grief. How on earth did we come up with doctrines like this? And how many hundreds of millions of Christians are trapped with garbage like this? What a betrayal. What a total and comprehensive betrayal. Verse 20. And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." A new covenant in my blood. An oath. The righteousness of God is an oath. Yahweh Sitkanu. That righteousness belongs to your heart. It stands in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. It enables you to stand before God so that you can become oracles of God. Go after that. It will bless you in all eternity. So you want another car, you want another house. What, are you going to live in 10 houses? You're going to cut yourself into 10 pieces so that you can put one piece in each house? Come off it, guys. Time to grow up. When we were little boys, we used to play with these toys, you know. And since I came from a middle-class family and I was an only child and I was the only male grandchild for several years, I used to get all of these presents. And within 1 week, all of these presents would be the north and the west and the east and the south. Absolutely no appreciation. The tragedy is we grow up, we become professionals, we become businessmen, we become fathers, and we are still playing with toys. The tragedy is we still don't appreciate those toys. Some of us have acquired strings of degrees after our names, and we are still little kids. When are we going to grow up to become responsible stewards of the universe God has created? When are we going to grow to have the mind of Christ? When are we going to be leaders of humanity? When are we going to think like sons of God? This communion is talking about that. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, that you are our God, that you are our salvation. That every time we speak, we have an opportunity to give expression to that salvation. But so often we speak so much of darkness, Lord. Forgive us. For every time we manifest darkness, we have betrayed your sacrifice. Forgive us for the numerous times we have done it. And we've done it even without repenting of it, Lord. So forgive us, Lord. For we have all sinned against you, every one of us. Right across the body of Christ. And we pray for new beginnings today, Lord. That we will come into this sense of destiny of being a chosen people. That we will come into this sense of destiny that you have given us in the merits of the Lamb. To each one of us, you have given us the testimony of Jesus. And we pray that the testimony of Jesus will manifest into each one of us the spirit of prophecy. Enable us to understand that in the spirit and life of Jesus, we can be all that your word says we can be, Lord. Teach us to appreciate that your righteousness will enable it. our mouths can articulate that righteousness of the living God, so that we can actualize salvation all of the time. So Father, bless us, O God. And bless us, O God, as we partake of these elements of the bread and wine. And we pray that prophetically they will be to us by your Spirit, Lord, the unveiling of your word in substance and in witness, so that we will become the oracles of God that you have designed us to be from the foundations of the world. Bless us, bless our brethren across the church, both Jew and Gentile, and bring us forth as the people of destiny you have paid the price for, Lord Jesus. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This bread prophetically represents the substance of the Master's fullness. The bread of the holy that is able to make us a holy people. The bread of the most holy that will enable us to commune with you all the time, Lord. We are meant to be online with you, and the substance of this creation comes from you. You have sent your Spirit to cause us to walk in new things, Lord. And your Spirit is able to do all things because he is the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you that as we partake of the living bread, of the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received, and grace upon grace. We thank you that your kingdom does not operate in a meritocracy, Lord. We thank you that your kingdom operates in love and mercy and grace, O God. It operates in your righteousness. It operates in the merits of the Lamb. Have mercy on us, O Lord, and enable all of us to change. For we can be better people each day. We can say better things to people who are around us every day. So often we pick the mistakes and we live on those mistakes. And Lord, what darkness we bring into our lives. Oh God, break that curse over our lives. Break that curse by transforming our belief system, Lord. So as we partake of the bread of life, we pray for the life of Jesus to be manifested in substance within all of us. And in all of our brethren across the world, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the cup poured out for us in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. A blood covenant witness, an oath of your righteousness that is meant to be developed in us, amongst us, so that through our mouths we will be able to express this witness and release living waters, O God, so that the rivers will flow and the deserts will bloom and the jackals will come to salvation, the beasts will come to salvation, the ostriches will be healed, Lord, and there will be an expansion of your kingdom. There will be a rich heritage of your sons manifested to you because of your righteousness. We give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the work you have done with each one of us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Even when we were totally unlovable, we want to thank you and bless you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.